Hey y'all, how you doing?
Very well, thank
We're
you.
doing very well.
Stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Well,
that's what's going on here.
Oh, well, it's cloudy here, but the moon is very big and bright, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's talk about the desktop. Let's talk about that missing Mac desktop, MIA.
Okay, well, my thought was, forget about what we think Apple will do or forget what we think Apple should do. Let's just think about what we would really like to see in a new Mac desktop. And I guess we need to think of two machines, the a headless one, like a Mac Pro or a Mac Mini, and the all-in-one, like the iMac.
Very well. Proceed.
Well, first thing, I think we need to drop the I.
Okay.
I think it's done its dash. I think we should have a Mac and a Mac Pro.
Ooh, I like the boldness.
Well, no point doing this. We're going to be wishy-washy, so I'm just going to stick my neck out and see who chops it off.
Okay. I'm sure there's more.
Okay. Oh, there's, I've got plenty more. Yeah. all right. For a long time now, we have used Macs for all productivity stuff, but when it comes to gaming, Macs just aren't in the picture. And I think that's a shame because gaming is a huge business. It's an industry as big as movies these days, and Apple's just not in that game at all. And so I think a gamer's Mac with a decent graphics card would be a huge thing. So I'd love to see a Mac with a really good graphics card.
Well, I've never quite understood why Apple isn't deeper into that. It's kind of a mystery to me because it seems like, you know, they certainly could do it. And, you know, it's just not that big of a deal. They just have to change a few specs here and there, and whammo, you'd have it. And I don't see what's prohibitive, you know, about someone who likes the Mac OS or Mac hardware gaming.
Well, I agree. And then the other thing is that surely the video editors and the photo editors that they really do see as part of their core audience, surely they would love a high-end graphics card as well.
Well, isn't there this thing called Metal? Is that an OS X thing?
Yeah, it's OS X and iOS. It's like a graphics library. It's software, I think. It's not hardware.
Oh, right. But my understanding is it's like its name. It gets you close to the metal. It gets you close to the processor so that you can do a lot more graphically than you could otherwise, which is the essence of a game, right? Video games.
Yeah, probably that's true. But I think the games manufacturers who mostly write for Windows, I think they need access to a cross-platform graphics library like OpenGL or Unity or, you know, one of those big-name graphics utility libraries.
Yeah, because these what I think a lot of people don't realize is just how costly it is to make a really, really, really good immersive game.
It's more and more like making a movie these days.
Oh yeah, I think the budgets are on par with that. Yeah, and time consuming. It takes a long time as well. Wow.
The soundtrack and the music and the graphics and everything, as well as the gameplay.
I'm curious if Tim has a dog in this hunt.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, listening to you guys and agreeing with what you're saying. The we were discussing last time the growing sensation that Apple were not focused sufficiently on developers and the important role that they play in supporting the whole Apple community, as it were, and that even if they are not a massive center of purchasing, they are nevertheless critical to the ecosystem. And I thought the other, but this time you're mentioning another group who are crucial, and that is to get, although people of all ages play games, it's a lot of young people get their first introduction to computers with gaming software. And I was thinking, Apple have always tried to capture the interest of young people early on through education software. And I remember back of the Apple II, that they've always tried to get Apples into education. And that's very high-minded and admirable and a good thing, a good idea, a good strategy. But in reality, a huge number of young people kick off with PCs because that's where the gaming is mostly. And I think that Apple are missing, if you want to be cynical, hard-nosed and commercial, that Apple are missing a commercial opportunity here to get them while they're young.
Ooh, that's rough. Get them while they're young.
There is another aspect to the gaming community, and that is mice. Apple mice have always sucked, in my opinion. Excuse me. And the current one is a very nice mouse, you know, the Magic Mouse. It's very nice if you want to browse the web and you know, write pages, documents, but there is no way it's a gaming mouse where the kids these days, they want a gaming mouse with, you know, 8 or 9 programmable buttons and really high precision tracking and a good solid feel in your hand. And Apple has always preferred form over function as far as mice go. They like it to look good and fit in with the overall design, and the actual use of the mouse comes way down the list.
Yeah, I've never enjoyed using an Apple mouse. I can't think of one, and I'm thinking back to Lisa. I got to mess with a Lisa early on, and it had a terrible, clunky bar of soap kind of mouse, and the Mac was not a whole lot better, and it just never seemed to improve. You know, and this latest incarnation, again, I think you hit it on the nose. Yeah, they are going form over function, definitely. So no argument there.
Gosh, that was a blast.
Remember
in the past,
how long
Jerry.
It?
Sorry, I remember Sarah and I going into a long disappeared shop. I'm sure I think it was Dawson Street in Dublin in about 1982. And there was a Lisa. We were terribly impressed, but I don't think we actually were allowed to touch it. But it was fascinating to see it. Crikey, that was that's a little while ago.
Yeah, it is. We're about the same time.
Pounds,
yeah, it was $10,000 here. The interesting thing was I was at a university and there was a fellow there giving a talk. I can't remember his last name. His first name was Mark. He's one of the authors of Mac Draw, and he was demonstrating the Lisa, and he'd been talking to us about it and showing it to us, and we were all enthralled. And this was going on for maybe like 30 minutes. And he said, "Has anyone noticed anything unusual about this demonstration?" And we all just sat there stunned. And he said, "I haven't used a keyboard yet." And he pulled a keyboard out of a drawer. I mean, at the time, you have to realize at the time, that was mind-blowing, you know. There was no way to use a computer without a keyboard.
Yep. It was
anyway.
Very clearly breakthrough stuff.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Well, the first Mac mice, the bar of soap, as you said, it was groundbreaking because it was kind of the first publicly available mouse. But then
Right. Remember
how they fought tooth and nail to avoid having a two-button mouse.
Right. Yes.
Long after it became obviously the right thing to do, they just obsessed with only a one-button mouse. So we finally got a two-button mouse. Then we got scrolling, kind of. Do you remember that funny mouse with the little ball on the top that you were supposed to scroll?
Yes.
That was really weird.
The hand cramp mouse.
I don't think that's sufficiently descriptive, Jerry. Most of them are hand cramp mouse.
Well, but, you have to curl your fingers so much to use it. That's why I was
thinking. Yeah, and they make no acknowledgement of the fact that one's hand is not symmetrical.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, well, anyway.
And the hockey puck, of course.
Yes, yes. Oh, there's been lots of different ones.
Famous,
but they're
hockey puck.
Pretty atrocious. Actually, Microsoft seems to make the best mouse.
They
license them from Logitech. And Logitech,
yeah.
I think, make the best mice. And Microsoft rebrands Logitech mice.
Ah, okay, okay. Important point. All right, so back to the desktop. Do you have any specifications or any thoughts about what your Mac Pro and your Mac would look like, Sarah?
Well, with the Mac Pro, I think they've got. I would like to see them go back to a more conventional tower design where you could open it up and swap bits in and out. So add new graphics card, add different storage options, add more memory yourself. That's the way it always used to be until they designed this latest trash can Mac Pro. And I think that was a better way of going for the Pro option.
The cheese grater.
Yeah, the cheese grater. Yeah, yeah. I would have to agree with that. And I don't think there's any shortage of people who love to tinker with their gear. And that would please a lot of people. And more to the point, it would allow you to configure a gaming machine. And, you know, also software developers and people who are developing hardware, you know, not just Mac hardware, but hardware in general, process control, you know, the stuff that you guys do at work and things like that. It really helps to have an open hardware enclosure that's open and standard buses and, you know, all that good stuff, slots
yeah.
for cars. That stuff's huge.
Yep.
It sounds like a throwback to talk about things like that these days, but gee, it's still important, I think. Right, factories
are
important,
and I think the you know, technology leaps forward. We get, you know, more in the way of SSD storage for your dollar, and new graphics cards come out every month. And your needs vary. You know, if you might have one job and all of a sudden you need an optical drive where you didn't think you needed it. Well, if you've got a current iMac, you've got to rush out and buy an external optical drive. But wouldn't it be nice if you had a Mac Pro that you could just slot one in?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. And yeah, that'd be excellent. So, in your universe, Sarah, is there a Mac Mini equivalent or whatever?
Ah. Well, now that is an interesting question. We have used a Mac Mini at work, and it was a great little machine. It kept chugging along 24/7 for how long, Tim? About 7 years, I think that thing ran without stop.
Yep. Yep.
And in the end, it never actually died. We just replaced it. Because it was, you know, it was getting so old, it was a bit risky to leave it running, I think, on a crucial system. But that was a great little machine.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and did you guys use it? You didn't use it as a desktop per se. You used it as a headless Mac?
We had a horrible little monitor set up connected to it. But, yeah, mostly we connected to it remotely.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, so... I think the use case for a Mac Mini is strong. I think it makes a nice junior Pro. In other words, a smaller version of the Pro. I'd like to see it still somewhat configurable. Doesn't have to be as configurable as a Pro. But and then secondarily, you know, have a form factor that makes it easy to slide into a server tray of some sort. You know, like they are now. I think the form factor they have now is fine, and there are whole businesses, as we know, built around the Mac Mini for storage and remote processing, colo kind of stuff, co-locating. So I think there's a strong business case for it. I think it's a nice unit, and you can always say, people say, hey, oh, the Macs are so expensive. And you say, well, you can get one for $500. It's right over there.
Yeah, and if they've used a, if they've already got a PC, which has a monitor and which has a keyboard and which has a mouse, you can say, well, get this Mac Mini, and that's all you need. You just slot it into your current system, and you've got all the other bits already. So it's a really good entry point for switchers.
I agree. I think it's perfect for that. Now, there, granted, there aren't as many, just in the world of large numbers. The real numbers, of course, are in laptops. A lot, you know, everyday people buy laptops, it seems, in large numbers, and smaller numbers of people actually buy desktops, oddly enough. So, you know, I can see how Apple would say, oh, the numbers aren't there, and they're not giving as much love to these things as we would perhaps like. But I still think there's a good case for it. It is a business. And several of the constituencies you've mentioned actually fuel the engine. You know, developers are important. Gamers and young people are important. People in school are important because, you know, they're the next generation. They're going to buy when they go to work.
Definitely.
So,
yeah. To get back to the gaming thing, we had an interesting experience over the holiday where one of our sons had a VR set up. And it ran off his Windows PC, but it was amazing. You know, you put it on, and he had this app where you're walking around Mars, on the surface of Mars, and you're going up to all the various rovers that are dotted around Mars, and it was incredible. You really do feel you're in it. Now, I know the VR manufacturers out there, they've been asked about Mac support, and they've just said no. There is no Mac with the processing, with the graphics power to do VR, so there's no point us even trying.
Wow, that's sad.
That's very
totally sad. Yeah. Well, anyways, be that as it may, let's talk. What's your Mac, formerly known as the iMac? Would you change anything there?
Well, I would go completely SSD.
Okay.
I would go completely Retina, you know, as in through all the models, the various models. Now, I have a case where I think Tim's and my views differ slightly, and that's in the ports that they make available. Now, I have had many iMacs over the years, and they all have lots of different ports. And I tend not to use any of them except the USB ones. You know, they've got Ethernet, they had FireWire, then they had Thunderbolt, then they had this, that, and the other, and they had SD cards and whatever. And most of those ports go unused by me. If they had, like the latest MacBook Pro, if they just had a bank of USB-C ports or Thunderbolt ports or whatever they are, they're hybrids, I think, Thunderbolt and USB-C, then you get to make the decision as to what sort of dongle you put in. And so you can use all the ports by getting the relevant adapter or the relevant piece of hardware to put in. So I think while people will squawk like they did with the MacBook Pro at the reduction of the ports to just one type, I think that actually gives you the option to use all the ports instead of just a small subset of them.
Yeah, in a way, it's more open. I can see that. It gives you more options. Yeah, definitely. Well, what's Tim? Tim, what's your countervailing thought on this? Oh, we lost Tim.
Yeah, he's still muted for some reason, but
He was crying.
He was crying. Weeping.
Yes, nothing that exciting. It's simply that I do use the old USB ports, and the risk of sounding wishy-washy, I found Sarah's argument just then pretty persuasive, I can see it's the future, and I hadn't thought too much about getting a. You can always plug in a little expansion dongle with you know three or four USB 3 ports on it, and there you go. You've got all the old USB ports that you want. The my thoughts are much the same as Sarah's, but I have one other idea which you might find amusing, Jerry, and I'd be interested in your feedback. Basically, okay. We just had our holiday break, and our three boys, all in their 20s, came home. And like many of their generation, they were sitting there in front of their PCs playing games and discussing their graphics cards and so forth. So this is another comment about the graphics cards, but we were discussing, on the way to the airport this morning, we were discussing graphics cards and Macs. And I thought, what I'm trying to do is bring together the desperate thirst for GPU graphics card performance of the latest games and the Apple Mac ethos. We're talking desktop Macs here. And I had a sudden insight. If you could, it goes without saying that I too want a 1 terabyte SSD and a Retina display. And if you imagine pretty much the current Retina Mac, it would be just like that, except with that larger SSD drive, but there would be a port in the back. And the what you could get from Apple would be a what you might call a super dongle. It would be PCI Express.
It'd be a cage. Sometimes they call them cages.
Exactly. You're way ahead of me, and so you would have a box with its own power supply, and in it you would get these hotshot PC cards. Often, if you want the ultimate in power, you put them in two of them, don't you? You gang them, and so you would have two PCI Express slots, and you put these fire-breathing monsters in, slot them in, and the fans have all the room to stop them from melting down into a molten puddle, and when the Mac simply detects that there's something in the port, it cuts out the standard Mac graphics and channels through to these graphics cards for the graphics ability. And every 6 months you can throw away that $2,000 worth of graphics cards and stick in another $2,000 worth, and you'll have all the pixels you can eat
and all the debt you can stand.
My only objection to that, it has some good features in that it takes a great chunk of the heat load out of the main box. But I don't think game manufacturers and VR developers are going to bother to turn to the Mac if it's relying on an external peripheral. I think the Mac would have to have the graphics capabilities they need off the shelf, or they're not going to support it.
Well, what happens on Windows? And Windows, a lot of that stuff won't work unless you have a graphics card, right?
Yeah, but the Windows people are much more likely to have built their own or to have configured it to support the graphics cards. Whereas Macs, you just buy an iMac currently, and that's what you get. And as a developer, you can't assume that somebody's then going to have up-spec their iMac.
Well,
interesting. There was a time when you could.
Yeah. Well, I sort of took it for granted. In this imagining, I took it for granted. I simply can't imagine Apple reverting to having this huge hole in the back of the machine where you insert one of these multicolored monsters with two giant fans and water cooling in order to get the graphics performance. I just thought, well,
no, they don't come in thin.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That is not a steampunk company, Apple.
Nope. So that is not going to happen. And I thought, well, if they want to, it was the idea of having this bus. The graphics, of course, you need a bus that's as wide as the Mississippi. They need to pour phenomenal quantities of data out to the graphics card, processed
It almost needs to be on the board too. There's a proximity thing that goes on, and you run into the servers. They sometimes try to develop servers that have a common backplane and fast transfer speeds, and it's not easy. It's difficult. It can be done, but it can be costly as well. So there would be externalizing a card cage would be expensive. The externalizing part of it would be more expensive than you think.
Yeah. Well, having said I would amuse you with that, I don't think Apple would do that in a fit. I think they would find that an offense to their ethos. So, but the thing is, we were precluded in our description of this podcast from our previous discussion of what we think Apple will do. It was supposed to be just what would we like. And really, that whole diatribe of mine then about these giant graphics cards is I simply want really powerful graphics performance. And I think that Apple are working on that, and I think that metal was a sign of seriousness, and I think that they are actually working in-house to compete with the AMD and Radeon and I forget the names, the people who NVIDIA, that's right, the people who make dedicated graphics cards. I think that Apple are sufficiently have sufficient hubris to feel that they should be able to crack this and be as good as those guys and put it in their own machines and have it be much cooler to boot. And it will be much cooler if they can whack it all on the motherboard and just have it themselves proprietary and that would maximize the bus speeds. And, you know, they can have all the lanes open and the shortest possible distances. So what do I really think? I really think that Apple are going to try and do this themselves. And I hope they
Because of AR and VR kind of things? Do you think that's what would goad them into doing it?
I think so. The realization that that's coming, even if it's not quite here and mature yet, but the insatiable thirst of the computer world and the gaming world. But VR is a like a crossover. VR is not just gaming, it's also think that it's got a big future for virtual tourism and many other applications. I was
Education.
Extremely impressed with it.
And AR as well, augmented reality.
What about Jerry, we've kind of been pontificating about what we would like, which basically boils down to graphics, but are you past the desktop stage? Are you an iPad only man now, or what would make you buy a desktop?
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking while we were talking, the definition of the word desktop changes a little bit depending upon the context and the group you're talking to. In some circles, you know, laptops are considered part of the desktop computing world.
They're mobile, but they're not a mobile device.
Right. It's kind of funny, you know, that's happened. But it is happening. And from that standpoint, there's a couple things that I guess I feel about it. I like it's interesting that a friend of ours, Sarah, Chip Walters, has gone and bought he's been a Mac, pretty heavy-duty Mac user now for maybe, 8 years or so. He was a heavy Windows user before that, and he's now gone back to the Surface Studio. He's gone back to Windows with the Surface Studio. And his reasoning, I would have to say, seems a little bit on the emotional side, but maybe it's not. Maybe he's thought it through, but he even admitted that the software is terrible. And I like that what they've done. It's very innovative. I like the fact that you can, you know, change the plane of the surface itself so that you can easily, without putting your arm straight out, point and drag and what have you. I don't know if that's a world that Apple needs to get into in order to become relevant, in order to make the desktop relevant, because part of this problem is the desktop itself. More and more people aren't using one. You know, I haven't used one for a really long time, but I know other people, you know, are starting to do less and less of it, and it sort of has that, you know, musty, antique-y kind of feel around it sometimes. So I'm not saying I'm not saying most people don't still use a desk, but I'm just trying to, you know, predict where the hockey puck is going, and it seems to be going in that direction. And so I think to remain relevant, Apple may have to, you know, break out of its mold. I don't think it's all iMacs and Mac Pros and Mac Minis. I think there's a whole different world out there, and I'm sure they've got a prototype for every world that I could possibly imagine. But maybe it's time to break one of them out and do something. That's my thought.
Well, we had the original Macintosh, which was landmark. Then we had the original iMac, which again was a huge landmark in the history of Apple. And maybe maybe we're coming up to the third iteration now, and something wonderful will happen this year.
I think it would be nice. I'm just curious.
It'd be lovely.
I know what you do mostly, Sarah, on your iMac, on your desktop Mac. You know, Xcode mostly, I would assume. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I could do everything I do on a portable, but then you've got a pretty small screen. And like I haven't got the hugest iMac. I've got the 21.5-inch, but there's no such thing as a 21.5-inch portable.
Right.
And so if I was using a MacBook or MacBook Pro, I would want an external monitor. And by the time you put in an external monitor and a MacBook Pro, you're talking the price of about 2.5 iMacs.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I think a second screen is great for debugging and you know, a variety of things. You know, you can watch a process more closely. It creates a certain amount of objectivity that makes it easier. You don't get as lost in code. So I think it's a great idea. Tim, are you a spreadsheet guy? Is that what goes on your desktop?
Well, basically at work I do financials and bookkeeping and spreadsheets and email. And at home, I do have just a lot of Safari. It was a lot of surfing the net. An embarrassing amount of time was wasted doing that. And as well as playing World of Warcraft, which I used to play a lot. I only play a little bit now. And actually, that is a game, although more powerful graphics would make it nicer, you can play World of Warcraft level graphics quite easily on a 5-year-old, 6-7-year-old Mac still right now. And I was doing that yesterday or the day before. So when I go on about powerful graphics, I'm mostly being influenced by what I was watching our sons play on their machines, Battlefield 1, and they're really jaw-dropping graphics. It's quite stunning, but they are using the boys demand the most ferocious frame rates for these incredible graphics, and their little faces fall if the frame rate drops below 100 or something ridiculous. It's but anyway, I don't actually play those myself, but so I'm less demanding. But the I play so finances at work and undemanding surfing the web, and the game is World of Warcraft, which I enjoy.
Cool. Well, okay. I think we came to a conclusion. We all have something we'd like, I think, and they're all a little bit different. But basically, I think we want Apple to stay in the desktop game, not to give it up, and if anything, to expand it and give it a little more muscle.
Yeah. I would love to see them do something creative in the desktop range, and better graphics performance would be huge, I think.
Yeah, and you know,
well,
it's
Tim Cook has specifically.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Jerry.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, Tim Cook, Tim Cook has heard the Apple aficionados crying in the wilderness and has been provoked into saying desktop stuff is coming. We're not ignoring it. So we just have to maintain an even strain and wait for it to appear, I guess. But if it's just putting the latest Intel chips in, I'll be quite surprised.
Yeah, it would be nice to see something a little more extraordinary. I think Apple in general, it seems to me, doesn't quite understand the value of an innovative product. I mean, they do, but they seem to do it in the most under... I don't know. It's weird. In other words, Microsoft is not going to make any money with the Surface Studio. You know, that's not what this is about. This is about turning the tide. This is about getting some visibility as a company with
yes.
some chops again. And it's starting to get to the
yes.
point where Apple needs to do something like that as well. Throw some money into something, you know. And yeah, they're starting to look a little, you know, a little greedy, you know, like they're come on, you guys, you got $220 billion. Let's have some fun, right? Kick
well,
up your heels.
I couldn't agree more.
What's that?
Okay, we all talked to it once. I think Phil Schiller must be a little bit embarrassed at this point because he introduced the Mac Pro, the trash can Mac Pro, and said, you know, I can't innovate my ass. And that was 3 years ago, and they haven't updated it once. So, you know, can't innovate? Okay, we can innovate once, but now we're going to stop, is basically
yeah, we can't
we, get there.
No, the message is we can innovate, but we can't upgrade and we can't update. We can only do it, like you said, we can only do it once.
Or we can innovate,
yeah,
but we
yes,
choose not to innovate most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. That's just
yeah,
disgusting.
We discussed this. A couple of podcasts ago, we discussed this and... we were saying, you know, if you've got $220 billion in a bank, it's often considered to be a virtue in companies to do, as they say, stick to your knitting, do what you do well. Or, you know, Apple makes most of its money through iPhones, so should they just, you know, streamline down to that? But I think when you are the size of Apple and when you can say, well, these are all iPads, these are all computers, and I think that I think we can be generous enough when the company is powerful as Apple to say, well, your knitting can be computers, and you can you don't have to act like such a small company with so focused that if you're developing the iPhone, you can no longer develop the Mac desktop machines. That seems unduly fanatical. I think they can do more than one
yeah.
thing at once.
Yeah, I think they can walk and chew gum. I agree. So, here, here.
Well, let's hope so. Okay,
right.
Well, we've gone over our time today.
Okay.
So, but that was fun. And
yes, it was.
We'll talk to you next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Bye.
Jerry. Take care of yourself. Bye.
Yeah, will do. Bye.